Welcome to another one of my podcasts, and today we're going to cover off the rise of AI and machine learning and any other kind of buzzword that we can think of in the sales and marketing stack. And whilst I am no AI expert, having spent a number of years in the legal industry and following with interest the last couple of years the hype of artificial intelligence within legal and how that's going to revolutionize the way that legal services are executed and delivered, I have sat in on enough conferences with alleged experts and actual experts and had one-to-one conversations with them to actually understand what this all means. And the industry has come through the other side of this all and now recognize that it's not about AI, it's about data rather than the AI. And I fear that sales and marketing industry is about to go through this hype cycle, if you will, around how AI is going to revolutionize the way that we sell, the way that we market, and so on and so forth. Where in fact it's not. If we break down what artificial intelligence is, all it is basically a software program. It is a computer software program designed and written by human beings to follow a set of rules to execute upon. Those rules are also known as an algorithm. So I've had explained to me in terms of an idiot's guide of what this might look like. So a cookbook or a recipe book could be described as a book full of algorithms. The recipe is the algorithm. You follow a set of instructions as a human being, as a cook, as a chef, whatever you want to say, to execute upon creating a pot roast, baking a cake, making cupcakes, cooking a curry, whatever the food is, you follow the rules and ingredients, the amounts of everything that needs to be put in. So one could argue that you are the computer program, you are the AI which follows upon that to get to where you want to get to. I'm reading a fascinating book at the moment called Predictive Analytics by Eric Segal, where he takes you through the journey on actually how long predictive has been in the market for and how it's used daily in things like mortgage applications, insurance applications, even supermarkets. Those of you in the UK or the US, if you have a store loyalty card and then coupons are created off the back of that, supermarkets have been doing this for years in terms of using artificial intelligence or actually a computer program based on thousands, if not millions, of data points on their customer database to help guide and decide who's going to do what next and buy and so on and so forth. So if we look at the world of sales and marketing, what is it that we are trying to do? What is the panacea of what we're trying to do? If one could predict what your clients are going to do next, or which clients have the highest propensity to buy, or which market we should be selling to or marketing to versus which not, that is the perfect scenario for us to come into. Then one almost begs the question is what is the role of sales and marketing if there is technology that can start to enable us to understand all of that. We are, as it would seem, a long way off that still. Artificial intelligence, yes, has its place. You're starting to see how AI is being built into the likes of Microsoft Dynamics 365 and the predictive analytics that they're starting to employ to help you understand where your relationships are strong and weak. If you use Sales Navigator, that uses basic artificial intelligence capability to help surface information it thinks will be relevant to you based on what you have already taught it. But much like anything, any CRM system, any Sales Navigator system or similar to, Marketo, Hootsuite, anything that gives you output, typically these are all computer programs which start as an empty box, in which case you as the human being or the user, you have to teach it. Much like Amazon learns as you start to shop, Spotify learns as you start to listen to music, and Netflix learns as you watch programs on the platform. They, of course, have access to tens of millions of data points to help guide and understand, what you should be doing doing next. And yes, they are using AI in inverted commas, but again, it ultimately is just a computer software program. So for me, in terms of sales and marketing and artificial intelligence, I hope that we're not going to move into a world where it's going to be explosive puff PR headlines around organizations invest in this next AI technology, which is going to then, you know, change the world. And then understandably, we find out 2 years later down the line that it hasn't. And why has it not? And this actually all comes down to data. This has got nothing to do with AI or machine learning. This has to start with data, which is why you've now got to look at it from a data, people, process, and then and only then the technology play. The challenge is in the business-to-business market space is that in order for AI to truly work, or machine learning to truly work, you need huge amounts of data in which to train it, in which to teach the system, in order to give you some test data to then work from. So you need to work from historical, sales and marketing data or CRM data, based on outputs or facts that you know to be true. You then need to put that into the front end of the AI computer software to then see if it comes to the same end results. If it doesn't, then the AI is not working, and the recipes, all the algorithms need to be looked at. The challenge today is that most B2B organizations have very poor sales and marketing data. It's there somewhere. It's in an unstructured, probably, format. Most organizations may not even know that they've been collecting it or where it is being collected. But this is what you now need to start thinking about. Don't focus on the AI. Start focusing actually on your data strategy, and start trying to get into the guts or the engine of your organization to work out where data is going to be collected. So you are going to have CRM data. You'll have some, it'll be good, it'll be bad, it'll be indifferent, but you'll have data nonetheless. And this could be based on account data, this can be on contact data, this can be on number of phone calls that are made before a meeting happens. This could be number of meetings that happen before a pitch opportunity is raised. This then could be number of phone calls and meetings that happen after the pitch opportunity happens, that then leads to a negotiation. This then could be the number of phone calls and meetings after or during the negotiation, which then leads to a win or a loss. Off the back of that, then you should be going into win data. Why did we win? What will we do? What did we do right? What could we do better? Why did we lose? What could we do right? What could we do better? You then will have ideally some level of understanding of your cost of sale in terms of that data versus the value of the deal, longevity of the deal, the profitability of the deal. This is then means you'll now start to access data out of maybe your financial recording system, time recording system. If you're in a professional service organization such as lawyers, accountants, or commercial real estate brokers, you should have access to some of this. But the question is whether you'll have access to enough of it, or if you don't, the chances are it's because it has not been recorded manually by the individuals that are leading from the front in terms of a sales perspective. We then start to look at your marketing data. So this could be from amount of emails sent from a marketing perspective, amount of opened emails, not opened emails, click-throughs. If you want to go through your general data protection regulation scenario, GDPR, how many unsubscribes have you had? Who is unsubscribed? Where do they sit within your key client program? Are they key clients or not key clients? What job titles do these individuals have? Are they influencers? Are they decision makers? Then you can start to layer into things like website visits, what pages are being visited, how many pages are being visited, subject to the level of analytics on what type of marketing automation technology you have. Could be Hootsuite, HubSpot, Marketo, Leadfeeder, Leadforensics, list goes on, Node. Who is actually visiting a website from a company perspective? So if you start to understand all this, then if you can start to map that data against, okay, so this company did this amount of online behavior, even just to the website, even just in terms of open rates on emails or not open rates on website, tally that against the client information within within CRM. Tally that against, okay, what behavior is happening online or offline per se when we're not in a face-to-face meeting situation that then leads to a phone call or a meeting. Then look at your social data, things like followers, number of connections, shares, comments, likes, share of voice on social. Look, if you have social listening platforms, start to look at what is being said around your brand, what is the intent in terms of intent data, which things like Microsoft Social Engagement now have. Who is talking about what geographies, where around the world are they being talked about, where is the engagement happening? Try to understand why that engagement is happening. Then we need to start looking at other things in terms of what's, you know, what is the competition doing, how do they stack up. You need to look to try and look at every single possible data point there is, from the initial touch point of an organization doesn't know who you are as a brand or who you are as a person, the whole way through to credit control chasing your invoices, as it were. Things like payment terms, how long organizations take to pay, could start to indicate over time whether they're going to be profitable or not, and what type of profile does that organization have. And if that starts to mirror or map a theme, then maybe you don't want to work with those organizations if they're locking up debt, which then hits your cash flow, which then hits your profitability. Then start to look at the on-sell and the cross-sell, and again, you should have access to this. If you typically have an entry product or an entry point, what is the on-sell from that? How long after the initial sell does that take? Is it months? Is it weeks? What then needs to happen in terms of content consumed for that on-sell to happen? How many touch points is it? Is it face-to-face? Is it phone calls? Is it email? Is it social? Does it actually need a salesperson to interject? Or could they upsell and cross-sell themselves and self-serve within the confines of your buying process on online, be it on web or whatever it might be. The only way that you are going to truly start to leverage the power of AI is through understanding your data. And in order to understand your data, you need to truly understand your clients. You need to truly understand your clients in terms of how they buy from you and why they buy from you. You then need to understand where is that data stored and in terms of what systems. You then need to start to work out, well, what type of output do I want from management information that is going to be useful for a piece of technology or a piece of software to learn from. From that point, you then need to start working backwards and reverse engineer. So once you've understood the output, is then working backwards through the processes you have internally to work out, well, what is the input? What is the actual input that needs to happen? Who needs to do it? Is that done by a human being? Could that be automated by some piece of software to, you know, help drive that? Could actually be self-serviced by the client or the prospect in terms of when they fill in information out? What can we learn from the intent that they are showing before they engage? Things like website visits, things like in terms of engagement on social, share a voice, everything that I have touched on. Then once you have that, you can then start to truly learn and understand, you know, what is going in your going on in your world. But then once you've done that, you need to then start to answer the why. You then need to start to articulate to your organization why they need to do this, why it is important that we are recording this data. And this doesn't necessarily need to be because I want more information on what you are doing, therefore to, you know, manage you with a stick and carrot per se. This is, dare I say, more going to be around I, or we as an organization, want to deliver a far better client experience than our competition do. In order to do that, we need these data points to ensure that we can learn, iterate, and drive a better client experience. If we can learn from this data, if you have better, more powerful information at your fingertips, Mr. or Mrs. Salesperson, then we can drive better leads for you. We can drive better engagement. Marketing can drive better ROI, better, more improved content in terms of the story that we are telling, because we are learning from the data. only then, and only then, once you have articulated the why to your internal market as to the importance of this data capture, then we come into the how, then we come into the process. And this is how I would like you to do it. This is what needs to be done. These are the systems that we need to engage with. And if we then start to do this, then the output that that gives us in terms of the data, or the cleaner data that we can learn from, then and only then will AI in its truest sense start to be able to augment and support the sales and marketing process. The biggest challenge is, as I said earlier, in learning this book, Predictive Analytics by Eric Siegel, it is the volume of data that is needed in order to start to prove out whether artificial intelligence can actually work or support, but also then actually in order for the organization to trust the output, to trust the result. Because humans by nature, we're risk averse, and typically we will go on our gut instinct based on what we think. However, if you could then still leverage that gut instinct, but you are working on much cleaner data, which then gives you much better predictive capability, or moving into the world of prescriptive capability. So not only is that when this technology is predicting what will happen next, but prescribing, so the technology is then telling you what you need to do next, only then do I believe that you are truly moving into the world of AI and machine learning. And where the machine learning is going to come in off the back of is where that data output that is driven by AI is then put back into another system, which then learns from that data, which is created by artificial intelligence, or rather an algorithm in the first place. However, one cannot lose sight of the fact that at the moment, those algorithms are written by human beings. So those human beings will have bias. They will have a view in terms of a process or what instructions need to be, you know, need to be followed. Which is why, again, from an AI perspective, whilst it may be the panacea for one software company, it may not be the panacea for another software company. Even though the tool is exactly the same, because their systems and processes, their data output, their learnings may be completely and utterly different. But in order to understand that, you then have to get into the weeds of your data. You have to start actively looking at your data strategy and really having an honest, open conversation with yourselves around, well, where is the data sitting? How much access to data do we have? What data should we be looking at? So that the next time that somebody comes in to kind of sell AI as the panacea to your sales and marketing challenges, you know, you are equipped with challenging them with the right questions. You know, in order for this system to work, what data points does it need? How clean does the data need to be? What format does the data need to be in? What if we don't have that much data? What if our data is all over the place? What if it's based in spreadsheets? What if it's based in a dysfunctional CRM system, an old financial system? What if it's not cloud-based? It's on premise. All these kind of things where, you know, in the high big PR messaging is that AI is going to revolutionize and replace salespeople and so on and so forth. I believe that it will do at some point, probably in the not too distant future. And you look at maybe where in the B2C place or the lower end, low value, high low value, low margin, high volume products where we self-serve and we don't actually need to talk to a salesperson. Yes, maybe technology will start to, you know, replace that. We're seeing Amazon is now moving into the business space around, you know, printers and that kind of technology and phones and so on and so forth. So you can order directly from Amazon. This isn't necessarily going to happen at the high-end complex end, but Amazon's got more data than it can shake a stick at on probably all of your client base, as has, Facebook and so on and so forth. So this today is actually around why you need to think about your data strategy. So if you're a sales director listening to this, start going into your organization, start trying to understand where is the data, what have we got, where is it held, are we recording the right type of data? Go and find a data scientist who then can help understand what type of questions that needs to ask, because ultimately you could ask the wrong question of your data and that will take you down a route which is completely wrong, giving you the wrong output, the wrong information. And that's not the fault of the AI. All the AI are doing is just following a set of instructions. That's just their computer program following a set of instructions. If you set it off on the wrong path with the wrong data, you are going to go horribly, horribly off course. And that's got nothing to do with the system. That is because you have not understood the data that is required in order to give you the output that you want to drive, which should be driven around your best client experience. Then, as I said, it comes down to the why. The why are we doing this? The why do I need you, Mr. and Mrs. Salesperson or marketing person, whoever it is, to input this data? Why finance team do I actually need access to this data? Credit control, why do I need access to our debtors to start to work out who are the bad players, and is there a profile of organization that actually we should actively avoid doing business? What is a profile of what good looks like? Only then, and only then, can you start to consider how AI can support you. We are now in a world where it's data, people, process, and technology. As I said, if you are genuinely interested in this, I cannot recommend enough Predictive Analytics by Eric Siegel. It's a very straightforward, nice, easy read, and kind of really is opening my eyes to the world of where we can go and where we could go, and probably will go at some point, but we're certainly not there today because it all comes down to data. Thank you very much again for listening to this. I hope you found it useful. As ever, please do connect with me. Follow me on Twitter at Alexander_Lowe. Find me on LinkedIn, Alexander Lowe. If you've got any suggestions of anything you'd like me to talk about, then please do tell me. Otherwise, I hope you have a good rest of the day, morning, evening, whatever it is you may be doing. And until next time,